listening to CKMS News on CKMS 102.7 FM in Waterloo, Ontario. This program is a part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. You can access the recordings of the show on radiowaterloo.ca/news or on the National Local Journalism Initiative website, canada-info.ca. I'm your host, Shalaka Jadhav. Today we'll be chatting with Laura May Lindo, Member of Provincial Parliament representing Kitchener Centre as a member of the Ontario NDP. Laura May is also the official opposition critic for anti-racism, citizenship and immigration. We'll be in conversation reflecting on the year and looking forward to 2021. I just wanted to start by asking about your relationship to Kitchener Centre, which is the electoral district that you represent, and how your relationship with the district has evolved this year.
Well, I love Kitchener Centre. I love it. I'm a downtown kind of gal, so it's kind of cool to be representing the downtown core in Kitchener. I would argue that 2020 has been such a challenging year that usually an MPP's office is your last resort, right? When things get hard, we are the last place that you contact us. And this year I've seen a surge of people reaching out to our office. I've been blessed to be able to help when I can or provide information. Sometimes, given it's a pandemic, all that my office can do is provide some more information, especially as we've seen things changing rather rapidly. But I feel like I've been introduced to more people, not just in Kitchener, but also across the region, primarily, I guess, because of the kinds of issues that people are experiencing. So that's been one interesting consequence of the pandemic. And I would also argue that we've seen so much love in Kitchener Centre, like people coming out for each other, calls where people have called on behalf of family or neighbors, like people are really looking out for each other. And so as much as the time has been difficult, I am an eternal optimist and I do want to believe that the love and care that people are showing to each other during this pandemic is something that's going to just sort of continue and grow when we get through it to the other side.
That's wonderful to hear. I know downtown Kitchener is changing so quickly, and it's a really important place for a lot of people, of course.
You know what? I should add one other thing, though, on that note, because it's not just individuals, like individuals call my office, but you're also seeing so many of the social services are in Kitchener Centre as well, right? So people from across the region are coming into downtown Kitchener for counseling or for business supports, that kind of stuff. We're seeing the not-for-profit community. We're seeing businesses all coming together literally to address big issues, right? And not just big issues in Kitchener Centre, but bigger issues across the region. So it is a lot of love in the midst of complete and utter chaos. And sometimes I think the thing that's going to get us through is to sort of hold on to that love, you know, and be reminded about the ways in which we care for each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Care is such an important thing and such an emergent thing if it hasn't already been in a lot of people's lives already.
Yeah, for sure.
So looking back on the year, were there any memorable moments or defining moments for you or your office?
I think the defining moment was when a pandemic was declared in March. Sometimes I cannot believe that is what we're navigating, right? As a new politician, it is rare to be in a leadership role doing anything really and have a pandemic declared. So that was most certainly a defining moment. It was a moment that allowed for conversations that people weren't necessarily ready to have, but that my office had been having for quite some time. And I would have to argue I was having those conversations, but in different sectors, even before becoming an elected official, right? Now, all of a sudden, everybody was ready to talk about poverty and street involvement and addressing the affordable housing crisis. And everybody was ready to talk about racism in a different way. And I think another major defining moment. Like, first you have a pandemic and everything shuts down. And then in June, you have 20,000 people show up in Kitchener Center and march in a Black Lives Matter solidarity march. Like, those are major defining moments. I would argue the third, and this isn't in any particular order, but the third moment in this last year was seeing the Land Back camp get erected in Victoria Park, and real attention and pressure be put on leadership in the region, and specifically in Kitchener, to address the needs of urban Indigenous community members. Those three moments have resulted in not only conversations that many of us wanted to have, but nobody else seemed to want to have them with us, but it also resulted in real change. Like, we're seeing money being committed from the municipalities to do real anti-racism work, to address anti-Indigenous sentiment, policies, regulations, etc., to address anti-Black racism, a discussion of that was more nuanced about what inequality looks like and the intersecting layers that create these experiences of inequality were discussed in a real way. And people from all over the place started to talk about the need to enhance our social systems and our social networks to make sure that folks on OW and ODSP are provided with a livable amount of support. Like, these are hard conversations to have at the best of times, but here we are having them during the pandemic. And I feel like Kitchener Center residents really stepped up to fight for real change. We're not done fighting. Don't get me wrong. I don't feel like we got to the end of it and things have resolved themselves. But I do think that there's an upswell again of people wanting to be part of the change, ensuring that leadership in the city are held accountable, that they use their positions of power and privilege in ways that build a better Kitchener and a better Waterloo region and a better Ontario. It was like a quick discussion about, I can't wait to get back to normal, which was very, very, very quickly challenged with, wait a second, normal wasn't working for the majority of the people here. And so now there's this real attention to rebuilding in a way that can make sure that everybody, again, is felt sort of surrounded by love and care and respect and dignity, right? That's brilliant. In the midst of a pandemic, that's pretty brilliant.
It's both easy and hard sometimes to remember and forget that the pandemic is underlying so much since it has been so long. And I think there is a real resilience built over just time of enduring. I really like what you said about, you know, enhancing social systems and networks, and the work is not done yet. I remember reading somewhere, probably on Twitter, actually.
Let's be honest, we're all on Twitter. That's where we read it all.
Yeah, I think I remember reading someone say, you know, 2020 didn't just happen. It's really the accumulation of you know, us underfunding a lot of social services and not paying attention in the right places. And so I really appreciate that piece around, yeah, we're not quite back to normal yet.
I don't think we want to go there. Like, I think that there's a concerted effort to not go back to normal, but instead to rebuild, to see this as an opportunity to rebuild and create a world and a community that actually does center the most vulnerable, because then we know that everybody else will be okay too. I think that's really, really important to emphasize, because normal wasn't working, right? And when I think about the kinds of debates that I've had at Queen's Park, the kinds of issues that I raise have been different than what the typical politician might raise in their work, because I've been dedicated to doing anti-racism work and dedicated to using as much of my privilege and influence in the world to fight for real steps towards reconciliation with Indigenous communities, to make real change, to ensure that those that are, they just don't have the tools, have not been given access to the tools to actually thrive, are provided with what it is that they need to be able to be okay. The pandemic hit, and it's like the underbelly of society became the focus. It started when you looked at what was happening with elders in long-term care homes. And that all of a sudden made people realize that all of this talk that that so many of us had around inequities and the systemic inequities, like, this is what we mean. that when something really horrible happens, these are the folks that are going to be disproportionately impacted by any of these kinds of huge, monstrous shifts like a pandemic. And now all of a sudden, a lot of people that didn't really want to take that seriously had no choice but to take it seriously. So I do think it's really, really important to note that for many of us, myself included, we're not fighting for a return to normal. We're fighting to rebuild. This becomes an opportunity to do it differently because we have to reinvest. So why not make sure that we invest in ways that are equitable and ways that address the systemic barriers that existed before? I think that's the big opportunity in the midst of all of this. Like if there's anything, when I'm reflecting on what happened this year, if there's any kind of big takeaway that I'd like, it's for more people in positions of influence and leadership to see that COVID provided an opportunity for us to do things differently and to do it better and to ensure that more people, not less, were treated with care, dignity, and respect in all the ways that we would hope for, you know?
And you know, in a difficult year, I'm curious about what's the main accomplishments felt like for yourself, the writing and the office. What was some work that you were proud of?
I was extremely proud of my office forwarding the call for a seniors advocate is one of the most important pieces, I think, of the work that we were able to do in the midst of this pandemic. It was in direct response to COVID running on a rampage through long-term care homes. It was fueled by the amazing work of frontline healthcare workers who were calling my office and saying, they were scared to speak out about what they were seeing on the ground in long-term care homes because they feared that they would lose their job or their shifts would get cut or, you know, and these PSWs in town and across the province are so underwage that so many of them have two or three part-time jobs that they're cobbling together to make ends meet. And they're doing such an important job. Like they're caring for our elders, right? And they're underwaged and homes are understaffed and it's been like this for years and years and years and years. And to know that when we would talk to people, they would say to us, like they didn't have anywhere to turn. They didn't know who to speak to. They didn't know who to talk to about the systemic barriers that were making it really difficult to keep elders and community safe. So to come to a point where we were able to table a private members bill calling for a seniors advocate that's an independent office of the Legislative Assembly, a place that individuals and their family could reach out and talk about the gaps that they're seeing in care and try and be part of the solution to rebuild, a place where the frontline healthcare workers could do the same, where there'd be safety, they wouldn't get, you know, that fear would be gone because it would be a proactive and positive space. To be able to address systemic barriers. That was really like, I feel really, really good about that because I feel like that was something that we were all able to do together. And the number of organizations and individuals that contacted my office to support that private members bill was literally overwhelming. Because for me, on a personal note, people that have heard me speak in spaces and such know how important it is for me to care for our elders because they've brought us everything, right? They've built these communities. They've taught us everything. They're holders of such wisdom. And we've got to treat them with respect and dignity and care. And to see COVID run through these homes and hear from people about what the impact was, it felt good to be able to turn all of that pain into something. I believe even in my debate, I said, like, we're doing this in their memory, in the memory of the folks that we lost and the families that have been fighting for change and the frontline healthcare workers who tried everything to protect elders. And then to have it pass unanimously, which is awesome, is wonderful. But again, like everything else, the work isn't done. We still need to get the government to call it in committee so that we can bring it back to the chamber and make it law. So there's still some work to do, but that was definitely a major moment where I saw, look, we created opportunity out of pain and hardship. And I think that's really important that we put love into the universe instead of just focusing on the horror. And we advocated in a way that was respectful of what people needed. And I think the second big piece was being able to contribute and be part of the development of the End Police Violence document that the NDP put out, Invest in Black, Indigenous, and Racialized Lives. That was in response to a number of instances of violence between police and Black community members and Indigenous community members that, again, were all happening. We know that there's this long, sordid history of that, but these were all sorts of things. It just felt like it was one after another, including local issues where we had videotape of police brutality against Black folks in town in Kitchener. And this document, again, was a document that put forward a vision of investing in community and ensuring that every single person, no matter the color of your skin or your ethnic or racial background, that you could also feel safe and that your safety mattered. And thinking again about those 20,000 people that came out in Kitchener during a pandemic to march and say they want things to be different, and then to be inundated. Like, people wrote to my office saying they want to change. So those kinds of things, like when I'm able to take the desire from community for something that does put more love into the universe and turn it into something that is real, that makes me think, okay, it's worth doing this job, no matter how hard it is. It's those moments that I think are really awesome. But the pride I don't take just for myself. I feel like that's all of us working collaboratively to build a new world. And that makes me feel awesome.
So of course, in a difficult year, I'm curious, who did you look towards for support and who were your role models? And this could include, you know, arts and culture folks that you were engaging with as well.
I often look to my parents. It's like a way that I check myself, to be perfectly honest, because my parents represent my grandparents and my grandparents' grandparents. And so I feel like those are my elders. I'm often looking towards them and thinking, I want them to be proud of the work that I'm doing in the world. I think that's really important. More than anything, I think I look towards community to keep going, to find, you know, when I was getting real tired, I would think about the phone calls that people had made to my office about the work that they needed me to do. And then the number of people that would circle back and say thank you. Like, that level of gratitude from community for the little things that we were doing to try and make their lives a bit better. I look towards them to sort of keep that stamina going. And my team. Like, I have a small but mighty team that works with me in Kitchener Center. No MPP could do this on their own. They are always there when I'm feeling like I want to throw in the towel, and I won't pretend like there aren't days where that's what you want to do. It's been hard. But they're always there to remind me that I'm not working on this alone. I'm not trying to make this change alone. Community's behind me. They're behind me. That stuff is also really important. And my artsy friends of all kinds, of all stripes, are always extremely helpful, because they remind me all the time that there's creative ways to approach any kinds of problems or any kinds of big feels. That creativity is sometimes what I use to fuel my approach to trying to address some of the bigger problems that come to my office. And for them, I'm forever grateful.
That's wonderful. And I'm also curious, what are some of the primary goals for the year ahead as an MPP? And, you know, you can speak to some policy pieces on the table for 2021 if you'd like.
So I really want us to keep pushing as a community to get the private members bill, the seniors advocate, to third reading. Right now it's in committee, and the government has the power to call it so that hearings can start, and then it can come back to the chamber for third reading and then become law. I really, really want to make sure that we don't just drop it. When I think about what's happened to the time to care bill, like, there have been four times that this bill asking for 4.5 hours minimum of care per day for residents of long-term care homes, that become law and required. The NDP has tabled that four times. So I am hopeful, again, that the community can help me to ensure that that doesn't happen with the seniors advocate. It'll be a big fight, but I think we should do it. I'm very, very interested in putting together another bill around employment equity. So again, not thinking just about race and barriers to employment, but folks with disabilities, making sure that women, especially now when you look at the disproportionate impact of COVID on women, and we're seeing, I'm having meeting after meeting about the need for feminist recovery, is the way the YMCA has put it. A she session is how we've been talking about it, and, you know, ensuring that women are at the forefront of this, I think is really important. And so I'm looking to put together a private members bill around employment equity, which would be fantastic. So I have my team sort of looking at that. And also because in our region, we have a very large number of newcomers. It's a really hop-in settlement area for a lot of folks that come to Ontario. I want to make sure that the province actually invests in the settlement services. A lot of the settlement services are in downtown Kitchener, but they don't have the same amount of funding. And this particular government wasn't so keen on funding settlement services and was trying really hard to sort of put that back on the federal government. And I think the Ontario government has to do that. So advocacy in that regard, I'd really like to continue doing. And I think the very last thing is, in the spirit of our End Police Violence document, to keep fighting for real investments in community. And that includes in education and healthcare. Like, it's a pretty awesome document that talks about what real investment looks like, and the fact that when you invest in community and they are able, people are able to live in a better quality of life, with a better quality of life, that safety and community safety ends up going up. And a lot of these issues, people don't want to put all of the pieces together. So I'm hoping that we can keep doing that work.
I'm curious, like, as the year is winding down, like, what you're looking to do for rest and relaxation. It's obviously been a really busy year in a lot of regards. And what are you looking forward to?
So I am literally looking, I've been counting down the days. I was in a meeting actually earlier in the morning, and I was saying, I'm that parent that's now counting down the hours before winter break. As a single mommy with three kids, I'm kind of looking forward to just being able to chill out with them. Every Christmas, we have our Christmas movie. We all watch Malcolm X together. So I'm very, very excited to watch Malcolm X. We have very big discussions. That's what we do on our holidays. Very excited about that. We've already started all sorts of Christmas movies. The Little Drummer Boy is actually my favorite, and very, very close is The Grinch. So, you know, I want to just do a little bit of the putting my feet up and just focusing on these little people. I also look to them, actually, is going backwards to another question that you asked, when it comes to keeping up the fight, because they are relying on us as leaders to make this world a better place for them. So it's kind of cool to be able to get a chance to just sort of hang out with them. My son has made it very clear that he would like to be at home so he doesn't have to wear a mask. That's not been very easy for little folks that are in school. So it's going to be kind of nice to literally just be able to sleep in a little bit, put your feet up to the best of your ability. To be honest, an MPP's job, there's always an email or a problem or a thing that happens. So I'll take advantage of it as it comes. Oh, and a big Zoom family meeting. That's what we're doing, because we are not going to be able to get together like everyone else. We're following our health protocols. So my family has organized a Zoom Christmas. So we will all be together virtually, which will be quite nice, because I miss them all terribly, terribly.
A Zoom miss, I'm thinking of.
Oh, yes. It's going to be a Zoom miss.
Yeah.
I love it.
Finally, my last question for you. Is there any message you'd like to send to constituents as 2020 wraps up?
Yes. My message is always be grateful. Do everything in your power to find the gratitude in the midst of the chaos. Always find the love in the midst of the pain. I know that for some people, it's really, really difficult. Some days it's really, really hard for me, but we are like rivers in this world. There's an ebb, there's a flow, like different things happen. Breathe. Take it easy to the best of your ability. Know that we're getting around this corner, right? And if we can just sort of hold steady for a little bit longer, we can definitely make some change. And try and look back on the different things that you've learned in terms of, for my advocates out there, because there are many of them, how has your advocacy changed? And what kinds of things have you stepped up to the plate for? And be grateful, and, you know, give yourself a little bit of extra chocolate or something to celebrate that, because I don't think people realize. Sometimes I get phone calls to my office about things that people think are so small, but they're not. You know, the fear about a neighbor, or worry about a child who's just sort of not as bubbly as they normally are, or, you know, concerns about all sorts of different things, right? Curriculum changes, or who's going to be reflected in this document, and this is going to negatively impact certain business owners, or that kind of stuff. Like, people call me about these things and they think that they're doing, their advocacy is small, but they don't realize that they're plugged into a whole big, huge movement that is asking and demanding for change. And I just want folks to know that we hear it and we see it, and we're fighting with you, and you are not alone. As lonely as it can feel right now, there are a lot of people that are fighting to make this world a better place. And so I think that's lovely.
Well, thanks so much, Laura May, for making time. I know it's such a busy time of year, and I really appreciate it. And I too am counting down the days to putting my feet up. And of course, I think we should all congratulate ourselves on making it through what's a tough year for everyone, really.
This was quite a shock where we were, and we've learned a lot and grown a lot from that place. So here's hoping 2021 brings more love and more joy and more care and all those positive things that can build a better world.
Check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news and follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo. You can email news@radiowaterloo.ca to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover.